Okay, we're going to start on Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph Bava Kama, a fairly well-known Gemara. Right in the middle of the page, Itmar, Palga Nizka, Rav Papa Amar Mamona, Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua Amar Knasa. In other words, anyone, of course, who reads the Torah and Parshas Mishpatim really should be intrigued by Chatzi Nezek. What is Chatzi Nezek? Memanashach. Either you have liability or you don't have liability. Either you chayev in Nezek Shalem or you're not chayev in Nezek Shalem. You chayev nothing. What is Chatzi Nezek? So Rav Papa said it's Mamona, as it didn't Mamon, meaning it's you're making restitution for the value of the thing that you damaged, the chefza that you destroyed or damaged. And the other mandama holds, no, it's a knas. It's a knas. It's a fine, a penalty. Okay, Rav Papa Amar Mamona Kasavar Stam Shvarim Lav Becheska Shimor Kaimon. That what? That Stam Shvarim are not in an assumption that they won't cause Nezek. Like Rashi says, Lav Becheska Shimor Kaimi Sheregilin Benegicha. They're Ragil Benegicha. Vitzrichen Shmira. That's what Stam Shvarim Lav Becheska Shimor Kaima means. They're just talking about the nature of the animal. Uvedin, who the boy is, Shlume Kule. And really, Minadin, you should be Chayev in Nezek Shalei. Virachmana, who the Chasalei. And the God had Rachmanas on you, worried about you, concerned about you. Dakati lo iyaye ture. That Yeshua had yet to become a Muad. Yeah. So, of course, that's a little funny, even within the sheet itself. Like, how do you reconcile Stam Shvarim Lav Becheska Shima Kaiman and then still tell me there's an idea of Muad? You know, Tam and Muad. That means itself, even within that sheet itself, that needs to be explained. It sounds to be a little bit of a friction there. Because Rashi says, right, Lav Beches Kishima means Regila Benegicha. Regila Benegicha, if I would just tell you those words and say, what's synonymous with Regila Benegicha? I would dare say most Jews would tell me Muad. Guys who know Gemara, of course. Baba Kama Jews. So that itself needs a little explanation. If really Stam Shvarim Lav Becheska Shimor Kaiman, so what's going on? And also, what does it mean, Rachmanu Hu Dechas Alei? Well, all of a sudden, you're a mazik. Your mama was a mazik. Well, what are we chasing you for? They're regilim benegicha. And you didn't watch your animal properly, and bingo. It caused damage. Okay. Let's go to the next manda amar. Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua amar knasa. Chasavar stam shvarim becheska shimor kaimi. Right, meaning, as Rashi would say, they're not regil and benegicha. Uvedin hu de lo l'shalim klal. And really, you shouldn't be chayiv at all. V'rachmano the kansei ki hechi de lintere leture. And the Torah penalized you, fined you, in order that you should watch Yeshua. Okay, not as disturbing as the first side, but still, why is the Torah penalizing me? If the din is lo l'shalim klal, because stam shvarim becheska shimor kaimi. So what do you want from me? And what are you making me watch ashore that that's Becheskes Shimur. But not as disturbing. The first one's more difficult. And of course, ultimately, you know, question 101, or from a class 101, is how could Rav Papa and Rav Huna have a machlokas and mitzias whether Stam Shvarim Becheskes Shimur or Lav Becheskes Shimur Kaimi? Those are basically the questions. And that's the sugya. Okay. So, let's tackle the main question, the Metzias question. What's the nerd, or what's the machlokas? We say stam shvarim becheskes shimur or lav becheskes shimur kaimi. So what they're arguing about is really something very fundamental. They're arguing about what is the Torah, the halachic expectation of Bilaam. And you see, it's based on the fact that there are two types of information that the person has. Or I should say like this. There are two types of information that the person could have. And the question is, what is he responsible to have? Alright, now I've talked completely abstract. Let me put it in concrete terms. In other words, there's experiential knowledge. And experiential knowledge here means what your experiences are regarding your animal. So your animal, you notice through experience that your animal is not a nagchan. That's one piece of information. But then there's the other piece of information that Bilaam could have, it doesn't mean that they do have, but they could have, which is whatever you want to call it. You want to call it statistical knowledge, knowledge of the nature of these class of animals. I don't really care. It all means the same thing. In other words, it's a knowledge. It doesn't come from your particular experience with this behema, but it's something you could find out. You could investigate. You could study. And you would find this out. And of course, that's why we really say, I mean, you know, especially in light of a lot of unfortunate tragedies happened the last few years with animals, people always say, didn't he realize it's a wild animal at the end of the day? Even though this animal seemed to be, you know, domesticated, the answer is really inherently it's never domesticated. As a nature of the thing. So now the question is, what does the Torah maintain is the primary knowledge that Bilaam have a right to go by in how they relate to their mama, you know, their animals. So the Gemara starts off, it's mamona. What do you mean it's mamona? Because Rav Papa says stam shvarim lav becheskes shimur kaiman. Meaning, he maintains that the Torah demands of you, is machai of you, in a full knowledge of your animal. You need to know the nature of this animal. And therefore, bedin, really you should be chayev on that primary knowledge, lishlume kule, to pay completely. But, why was Rachmana chasalei? See, why the Torah have concern for you? Because the Torah cannot put you, does not put you in a position that you completely dismiss your experiential knowledge. Because experiential knowledge is also a reality. And definitely informs, you know, the human mind on how to approach things and think about things. So that's why Rachmana Chasalei. Delo iyaye ture. That insofar as your particular animal, you yet to have the experiential knowledge, the experience with your animal, that it's a nakhan. You only know it because you have the more abstract knowledge, the statistical knowledge, the knowledge of these kinds of animals. So therefore, the Torah was chasalei and reduced the payment. But the nature of the payment, since the primary knowledge is the statistical knowledge, therefore the nature of the payment is really restitution, is mamon. But the Torah gave you a break, because it couldn't ask you to dismiss the other piece of information. What does Rav Huna say? Rav Huna says no. That in the laws of Mamon Amazik, the primary knowledge that you have a right to go by is really the experiential. What you've experienced with this behemoth. And your behemoth has been a non-nakhan. It has been a tame animal. And therefore, you're not so vigilant with it. But the Torah created a knas that you should be vigilant in light of the other kind of knowledge, the statistical knowledge. And therefore, it's a knas, the lintere ture, that you, Torah, wants you to be vigilant, even though your experiences inform you one way, but there's a more abstract, there's another knowledge, a knowledge that you could have gotten through investigation, and you should really act in line with that as well. So therefore, the Torah is mechayev you in a knas to create a more vigilant gavra. And that's the machlokas, whether or not you say chatzi nezek is knas, or chatzi nezek is mamon. The machlokas, they're seeing the same metzias. The question is, which knowledge does the Torah primarily hold you responsible to? That's how Rav Papa and Rav Huna understood chatzi nezek. And depending on which knowledge you hold yourself responsible by, the Torah you maintain the Torah holds you responsible to, will result in whether right away it's knas or mamon, and then what the next step is. Whether it's chasalei because of the experiential, Torah can't tell you to dismiss experiential knowledge. Or do you say no, that really just the opposite. The experiential says it's really a knas because this animal's tame. Oh, but since there is this other knowledge, so the Torah gave you a penalty that you should really be more vigilant. You should be aware of that other knowledge and act accordingly with a better shmira. That's the machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Papa. Because you have these two kinds of knowledge, and the question is, which one is the essential knowledge that informs your relationship to your mamam, to your animals? And each one, each of the Amorayim, has a different emphasis on how he looks at it. And according to Rav Huna, the primary is the experiential. The Torah didn't obligate you, as in a primary manner, to become an investigator of animals. You're not obligated to know that. You only have one thing. Go by experience. How are your animals? You have a right to look in your thing and say, this is what my animals do. You have a right to do that. In other words, according to Rav Huna, at the end of the day, why did it give you a chatzi nezek? Because the Torah, in fact, wants you to be vigilant and do a certain level of shmira and not go just by your experience. But of course, the guy might not know. He might not, but that doesn't mean he necessarily knows the knowledge or not. I mean, if he thinks about it, he might come up with the idea. All he knows is one thing. The Torah, I have an animal. The Torah is going to penalize me, even when it's a tom. That I do know. And guess what? I don't want to get that penalty. I don't want to park in that parking spot. I don't like penalties. I don't like tickets. So it will practically. So I'm not saying he really has to know the knowledge. Although if he's a bright guy, he might think about it. But that's not, I wouldn't put that as part of the halachic formulation. The Torah simply gave him a knas. And that's going to cause the gavra to naturally be more vigilant, even about his tame animals. But of course, the reason why it can give that knas is not crazy, is because you have the backdrop of the other knowledge. That's why the Torah could say that. Pet lion is no kasha. Pet lion is always muad. There are animals that are inherently halacha defines as muad, and that's the end of the story. So you can't go there. Okay. According to Rav Papa, it's right. The halacha demanded that you have to know this. You can't claim ignorance. Look, I looked at my behemoth. He's a nice little behemoth. No, I didn't know that these. I didn't really look into it. That's not excusable. Torah demanded that in that level from the Gavra, that he investigate. When he buys an animal, he's got to know the nature of that animal. He has to know the full range, you know? He can't make the, I'm not saying they really made this mistake, but, you know, you can't have a Siegfried and Roy here.
Get away.
There's experientially, Stam, Shvarim, Becheska, Shimar. That's exactly what it is. The average shore owner will tell you that. But the other Madama holds no. Stam Shvarim Lav Becheska Shimo. He means from the perspective of investigative, inherent statistical knowledge. Then it's Stam Shvarim Lav Becheska Shimo Kaivi. What the very question is? What was Hashem's? What was God's expectations when He set up this legal system? What did he expect from people who own animals? Can a guy make a claim that experientially this animal has been tame? And one side says yes, basically he can make that claim. Except we put a knas on him because we would like him to be vigilant. Lenture ture. Or do you say no? That's not a valid claim. Because since statistically there is that knowledge, so therefore, lechatchila, he required already a different kind of shmira on these animals. And therefore, it's really chayev nezek shalem. Ah, but the Torah was chasalei. Why was he chasalei? Oh, because there is this other information that is, so to speak, bombarding, you know, his mental apparatus. And you can't dismiss experiential knowledge. The Torah is a very normal system. You can't dismiss that information. And therefore, Torah chasalei, because it is going to affect how he relates. You know, I tell you, when I was doing this stuff, you know, I remarked to Rebbe, I said, you know, it really reminds me of the Rav's comment that his father loved, but his favorite mesechta was Bava Metzia. He said, why? He said, because my father loved to see how the halacha incorporates the psychology of man into halacha, into business. And I would say that Baba Kama comes from a similar, but of course a little bit of a different angle, but it has a lot also to do with the relationship, because you have a relationship here of people who are bialim of animals, and how you deal with animals. And that has to become a halachic framework. But you can't forget the real world here. It's not Hilchos Shabbos. Hilchos Shabbos pretty much can forget the real world. In the sense that I don't really care about the guy's psychology. I don't care about the objects. I just have malacha. Malacha is very abstract, very concrete. I'm not interested in people's feelings. I'm not interested in you know, what level of knowledge they have, except to distinguish between mezid and shogeg, but not as far as the formulation of the thing itself. That's not true in the bubbas. It is not true in the bubbas. In other words, if you held like a Rav Papa, that means, really, you characterize behemoths from that standpoint of knowledge as being regila l'negicha. What does regila mean? It means it's normal. It's a norm. Like David said in the beginning, it's a norm. You're not surprised when you hear an ox gores. No one gets surprised. Because, you know, it exists within that group of animals that such an occurrence may happen. And Rapapa holds, you're chayev to make that information yours and act upon it. Rav Huna disagrees.
Rabbi, is that the idea of darshan?
For most people, Shabbos is, you know, it's spiritual, it's this. But of course, when you get to the halacha, it's completely abstract and the formulations are very rigid and they're pure conceptual entities just analyzing whatever. If it's malacha or the structure of tefillin, whatever it may be. But when it comes to the babas, that's exactly where it's the formulations take in all of a sudden, you know, the Adam, his thinking. Well, I mean, what's Migo? What's Migo? Isn't Migo nothing more than really getting into the whole psychology of a person who makes claims? I mean, that's, it's like a different, it's interesting. It's like, in a sense, again, I'm using the term loosely, but it's less pure. I mean, the ultimate formulation has to be halachic, of course. But what it takes in, the information it allows, it's like, it's counterintuitive. You'd think Shabbos would be more like that. No. Anyone who studies halacha knows just the opposite. It's really, I don't know, I find it fascinating. Right? Kachim also. Kachim's like Shabbos. Kachim Shabbos. You know, the most you get out of Kachim, I mean, you have Kavana. Yeah, but Kavana is not the same thing as dealing like these things. Kavana is not psychology. Animal behavior. That's in business, you have that. In the babas. It's very interesting. Okay, here we go. Kashru Balav B'Mosera. Men Hayyavid Beis. Kashru Balav B'Mosera. And I think it should actually be O. V'Nol B'Fan of Kiroi. It's two separate shmiras, by the way. It's not one. So one is you tie up the animal with its reins. And the other is you null b'fan of Kiroi. You know, you shut the door properly. Now, what is Kiroi here? Okay, this is very important. This Gemara is very important. Without this Gemara, it's basically impossible to understand the Gemara in Hakones. Okay? So, v'null b'fan of Kiroi, Rashi, Hainu Shmira Pachusa, Dele Shiachola Lamo Beruach Mitsuya, Lekaman Bahakones. Okay? So, it's a Shmira Pachusa, meaning it's a Deles that would stand up to basically normal winds. In other words, it's a fairly solid structure. Will stand up under all normal circumstances. Okay? It's not a chas v'shalom, a kosel ra'ua. It's not decrepit, it's good. Okay? But it only has a certain rating. Okay? A certain security rating. Okay. The yatsa v'hezik, echa tam v'echad mu'ad chayef, divrei Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says, you'd be chayef whether it's a tam or a mu'ad. If it went out and did damage. Why? Because according to Rameyer, the Torah requires Shmira Me'ula. Not a Shmira Pachusa. That's Rameyer. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tam Chayev Umuad Potter. And when you first read Rabbi Yehuda, you're sure that you must have gotten it wrong. You sure you should have said Tom Potter and Muad Chayev? But no. Rabbi Yehuda says, if a short Tom went through a Shmira Pachusa, you'd be Chayev. Meaning a short Tom requires a Shmira Ma'ula. And a Muad, you'd be Potter. Because a Muad only requires a Shmira Pachusa. Shinem arvelo yishmerenu, right? By the parasha of Shor Muad, right? It says, oh no, the kishor nagachu bitmol shilsham, velo yishmerenu ba'alav. Shalem yishalem shor tachas ashor, v'ameis yelo. So the Torah says, why yichayev, velo yishmerenu ba'alav. V'shomer huzah. But a Shmir Pachusa, it was Shamar. So therefore you derive that a Shor Muad only requires a Shmir Pachusa. But Tam requires Mu'ula, which the Gemara will explain. The Mishnah doesn't explain that. So you have an unbelievable position, logically speaking, and it's actually, that's the Psak. Take a look at the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, that's how he passed it, like Rabbi Yehuda. So it certainly demands explanation. How is it possible that a Tam requires a bigger Shmira than a Shor Muad? A tame animal requires a better Shmira than a wild animal. Sounds a little wild. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Ein Lo Shmira El Asakin. Rabbi Eliezer, very practical man. He says a Shor Muad has no Shmira except the knife. When it's dead, that's Shamor. Right? We're going to learn right now, and we'll see what the Gemara says about this. But right now, what does Rashi say? Ein lo shmira lemuat. Ela sakin. Vafila shamro shmira ma'ula vihipila kosel viyatza chayev. Right? Rabbi Lezer basically holds a simple svara. It's muat, it's your moman hamazik. And therefore, that's it. Yechayev. There is no shmira as an ones or as a pator, however you want to formulate it. Shmira doesn't help you. Uveshalosh machlokos padavar. Remeya b'shmira pachusa chayev uvemu'ula pater. By a shor muad, Remeya is going to say a shmira pachusa chayev, but mu'ula would make you pater. There is a shmira that paters you, but it's mu'ula. Ula Rebbe Yehuda b'pchusa nami pater. Ula Rebbe Eliezer b'mula nami chayef. You have all the possibilities. Okay? That's the Mishnah. Yeah, they all agree by a tam that you require a shmira m'ula. That's correct. Interesting. So the Gemara says, "My time of the Remeir, Kasavar Stam Shvarim Lav Becheska Shimur Kaimi." Now here's where it gets, you got to hulk up a little, because according to Rashi, even though it's the exact same words, it doesn't mean what it meant on Daf Tezvav. Lav Becheska Shimur Kaimi. Rashi says, Ein Adam Mishamer Shoro Klal Ela Meinicho V'yotze. A person doesn't watch his animal at all, but he leaves it and goes. So Stam Shoram Lav Becheska Shima Kaimi is not talking about the animal behavior. It's talking about what the Bailam do insofar as the animal. So the average Shor is not in an assumed state of Shimur. Because the Bailam, basically, they don't watch it at all. Ela Meinicha V'yotze. Okay, let's go, now let's understand the Gemara. So Meir Hall starts off with that premise. Ve'amar Rachmana Tam Nechayev. Now the Torah, God looks at you, at the average Jew, that is. And who is this average Jew? A guy who doesn't watch his behemoth at all. And what does God say to him? By a tam you be chayef. So what do you know from that? Dine boye lei shmira pachusa. So obviously God's telling you, why are you chayef? Because you acted like in the average circumstance. You're talking to the average Jew who owns animals, and he doesn't watch it at all. But if you did, in fact, do a Shmira Pachusa, you'd really be Potter. Okay? That's step number one of the Meir. So, first of all, you make the first move that in the Parsha of Tam, when you walk out of the Parsha of Tam, you know that the Torah really wants you to do a Shmira Pachusa on a Tam. Okay? Now, Hadar Amar Rachmana Velo Yishmereno Gabi Muat. Din Eboile Shmira Ma'ula. Oh, but now God comes back in the next parsha by Parshas Shor Muad and brings in the requirement of Shmira again. So, obviously, now it's upping the ante one. Because you already know Shmira Pachusa by Tam. And yet, over here, God's saying, and nevertheless by Muad, that's considered Velo Yishmereno. So now, you know you need a Shmira Ma'ula by Muad. V'yalef negicha latam negicha lemuad. And once you know you need Shmira Ma'ula by Muad, now you have a Gzera Shava, negicha negicha. And therefore it tells you that both of them require Shmira Ma'ula. Okay? Now, between you and me, I am not going to spend too much time with the pshat here, you know, with the midos that Torah and the drashas have. I'm more interested in understanding the formulation once you get the conclusion. But so if you want to go further on the other aspects, that's up to you, but not with me.
Are you saying in terms of the pathway also, it's not significant?
I'm saying it's not significant. I'm saying this is the Yalfusas. If you guys, you know, if you think otherwise, I'm not here, you know, I'm just telling you my approach, you know, or our approach. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not trying to push you in one way. I'm just going to tell you what I'm going to do.
Okay.
Bottom line is that Reb Meir, through his... But of course, what I am interested in his initial assumption about Stam Shvarim Lav Becheska Shima Kaimi. And you'll see why I'm interested in that, because once you do Reb Yehudi, you become very interested in that. But how you go past that, that now you say Pchusa, Ma'ula, back to Ma'ula, Ma'ula, because of Gzeres Shava, I mean, that's it. He's Doresh Gzeres Shava here, and, you know, that's the story. Then I'd be interested in analyzing Ma'ula, Ma'ula. Why do you need Ma'ula by both? Like, what's the nature? How do you formulate that? In contrast to Reb Yehuda. All right, let's see. Now, what does Reb Yehuda say? Reb Yehuda, Savar, Stam Shvarim, Becheska, Shimer, Kaimi. Yeah, this is pretty wild. So take a look at Rashi. Stam Shvarim, Becheska, Shimer, Kaimi. Ein lecha adam she'eno mishamer shoro shmira pechusa. There is no person in the world that does not watch his animal at least a shmira pechusa. Whereas according to Reb Meir, what did we say? Ain't Adam Mishama Shara Klal. These guys are walking out of different Batei Midrashos here. So, I mean, of course, that has to intrigue you. How could you have a question like that? That's just like wild. That's worse than the one on Tezvav, even.
Yeah,
Rashi
says it openly.
Yeah. It's like, that's it. Now, how does it work? Now let's go back to the pshat in the Gemara, the casuistries. So, Reb Yehuda Savar Stam Shvarim Becheska Shimer Kaimi, right? So now the average, who is the Torah talking to? Who's the Torah's audience? The Torah's audience is a guy who does Shmira Pechusa. Amar Rachmana Tam Neshale Din Eboile Shmira Meula. Oh, and yet God's telling the average guy, even though you did a Shmira Pechusa, you're still chayev for your short time. Oh, so it must be that what is God demanding of you? A Shmira Ma'ula by Tam. Hadar Amar Rachmana Velo Yishmereno Gabi Mu'ed and Avidle Shmira Ma'ula. Then it says Velo Yishmereno, it talks about Shmira again. Of course, it can't be going up another level because there is no other level. So it's just reiterating that you need that same Shmira by Mu'ed. Heavy Riboy Acha Riboy. So that's a Riboy Acha Riboy because both, you're going from Shmira Pechusa would be the lower form. And the Riboy, right, the more magnified form, okay, the more expanded form is Shmira Ma'ula. And it's a Riboy Acha Riboy. And you know the rule, of course. Vein Riboy Acha Riboy El Lamayit. Mi'ed HaKosav L'Shmira Ma'ula. So since the rule is Riboy Acha Riboy, Ein Riboy Acha Riboy El Lamayit, so therefore you know that the second one is really supposed to be a Shmira Pechusa. So that's how you end up with Ma'ula by Tam and Pechusa by Muad. But what I'm interested in, again, is not analyzing Riboy Acharivoy, you know, and whether you darshan the Torah Riboy Acharivoy, I don't care at this point here. But what I am interested in is the logic of the halacha. It's very nice to have drushes, but it's got to make sense when it comes out as a halacha. And how do you understand that a short tom, basically a tame animal, requires, I mean, a shmir ma'ula, and a mu'ad, a nakhan, a wild animal, a goring animal, you can get away with a shmir pachusa. And, as we asked before, the other major question is, how could they have a machlokes about their assumptions whether or not Balaam watch animals or not? That Rashi says, ain't other mishamer shoro klal. Boy, I tell you, Rashi keeps fighting words there. He put in the word klal. Ain't other mishamer shoro klal. Ela meinicha v'yotzei. And then the other one is, ain't lecha adam shena mishamer shoro. Shmir pachusa. So those are the two problems that we need to rectify. They both agree in their first step that when you open up the Sefer Torah, the Sefer Torah is addressing a certain audience. Right? The Sefer Torah is a book of limud. And when you walk into a room of Talmidim, you have a certain assumption who you're talking to. They both agree you start off with that. So now the question is, who is your audience? Who is your average shore owner? Is he already naturally, normally doing no Shmira or a Shmira Pachusa? It would be like this. I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example. It would be like a fitness coach walks into a room of guys who never exercise. And he says, guys, I need you to exercise. So they all go out of there, they leave, and they start that week jogging a mile or two. Then you have another fitness coach who walks into a room of guys who already every day run 3 miles. He says, guys, I really need you to exercise. So that, of course, means the guys who are running 3 miles now get the message that 3 miles is not enough exercise. They need to run 5 miles a day. So the question is, which audience is the Torah addressing? Is the average Jew who owns Shvarim a Shmira Pachusa guy? That's who the Torah is addressing? And therefore it means that that's not good enough? You gotta up your Shmira? Or is it talking about people that don't do any Shmira? And therefore when God says you gotta up it, it means you gotta do a Shmira. That's the question. I mean, that's the pshat that they, the first step in the Gemara.
Got it. Understood.
Okay. There's no argument anywhere in the Gemara that I know of, at least, that argues about what Shmira Pachusa means, that it's Omeid Bifnei Ruach Mitzuya. There's no one to argue. I haven't seen any argument about that. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so if you're doing the, when we do the Tosas Beches Neshima Kaim, in the last line, at least for me to understand it, I had to do the Rush. The Rush is found, it's the last paragraph, Os Vav, in Perek Revi. It's the paragraph, Kashru Balav B'Mosera. And midway, and you can read that whole paragraph, I mean, it's no big deal to read it. When he gets up to V'Afagav D'Yesh Sforim D'Garsi, that's going to be Rabbeinu Tam Shita, and he explains, without referencing it though, but he's really explaining that last line in Tosas. He has better notes than from the Shear than the Tosas on the Daf. If there's anything I can give advice that I've gained from Rebbe, you know, over years studying Bubba's with him, it's like you got to think real, natural, and then you can put it into halachic terms. Don't you know, so to speak. Don't go brisk. You're not going to get anywhere. These are real life situations. It's very important.